Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
This is not a loaded question, so feel free to answer honestly. How many of you have ever played Monopoly? Lift your hand. Most of you? You know, Monopoly is sort of taboo in my house. Matter of fact, about 12 or 15 years ago, my wife and I, we duct taped the Monopoly box shut because it was causing some friction in our marriage. We love each other, but there's just a little bit of competitiveness in both of us, and Monopoly brings out the worst in both of us. And so we just decided that since we love each other more than we love Monopoly, we're not going to play anymore. But here's where the rub comes in on Monopoly. She walked in at the perfect time or the worst time, I'm not sure. But here's the rub on Monopoly. You are trying your best to basically hoard everything before the other person does, right? Because there's only so many squares on the board, and once they get bought up, they're bought up. And you know, when someone else buys one that you didn't buy, eventually it's going to be to your demise. And so the whole name of the game is to hoard, is to purchase, is to, you know, have a monopoly. I think that's why they named the game Monopoly. Have a monopoly on the your opponents. We've been talking about God's grace this past month. And here's today's message. Sometimes I fear that as the Church of Jesus Christ, we live our lives like God's grace is limited. We don't share God's grace as much as we should have, because sometimes we look at our lives like a game of Monopoly, and for me to give up this is to lose something. There's actually cultures around the world that today still have this same mindset. There's certain parts of the world, if you'll go to, if you meet someone on the street, they will not even greet you and say hello or are glad to see you. They won't even be kind to you as they meet you on the sidewalk, because in their mind, for me to share kindness with you means I'm going to lose some kindness that I can't share with someone like my husband or my wife. In their culture, they're really hesitant in the decision between having one child or two children, because if my love tank has this quotient on it that can't be expanded, for me to have two children means I'm going to love them half as much as if I just had one. If I had three children, they would only be loved a third as much as if I just had one. And I can tell you from my own personal experience of with having two kids, I don't feel like our love for one got cut in half when we had two, right? God multiplied the love we had for our kid beyond what we thought was possible. But sometimes I feel like we feel like as followers of Christ that the grace we've been received, we have to keep it in order to enjoy it. But I want to tell you this morning, this was almost my sermon title, but I'm just going to tell you this phrase. It's kind of cheesy, but you know, sometimes you're good at remembering cheese. So here's basically what I want to say to you this morning in a sentence. The grace of God grows in our life as the grace of God flows in our life. If you want God's grace to grow in your life, I would challenge you in this way: let it flow through your life. I want to say that again. If you want God's grace to grow in your life, I would challenge you to let it flow in your life. In Luke chapter 10, there was an expert in the law that came to Jesus one day, and he asked this question. He said, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus replied to the man, "Well, what does the law say?" And the expert replied, "Well, Lord, the law says to love God and to love my neighbor as myself." And Jesus said, "You've answered well. Go and do this." But the teacher of the law, the expert of the law, wanted to justify himself, asked the Lord this question: "Well, Lord, then who is my neighbor?" How many of you have heard this account before, right? Most of us. And so Jesus told this story. He said there was a Jewish person coming down traveling from Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and they beat him, and they robbed him, and they essentially left him for dead in the ditch. And along came a Levi who saw him and passed by. Likewise came a priest who saw him, crossed the road, looked at him, but also passed by. And I like the New Living Translation. It says this, "But then a despised Samaritan came by, saw him, had compassion on him, reached down, doctored his wounds, put him on his own beast, his own animal, and then carried him and took him to an inn, paid for a night's stay, and then paid the innkeeper to take care of him, and said, 'And when I come back, if you've spent more than I'm giving you, I'll cover that as well.' And then Jesus turned back to the teacher, the expert of the law, and said, 'Now, which of these three was a neighbor to this man?' And the expert of the law said, 'The one who had compassion.'" Today I want to ask the Lord to make us people to where His grace doesn't stop in us, but His grace flows through us. And we as a people understand that God's grace grows as it flows through us. So let's pray over that. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word, which never returns void. And I pray this morning that you will speak, Lord, not just to me today, but Lord, you'll speak through me and you'll speak to each and every one of us as we hear the word of God, that it will transform us to become less like ourselves and more like you. So, Father, help that to take place today. Lord, anoint me above my own ability to speak these words for you. And we'll give you thanks and praise. And all God's people said, amen. So I want to ask you to remember with me real quickly the definition of grace. Grace simply means the unmerited favor of God. It's God giving us not what we deserve, but God giving us better than we deserve. And I'm so thankful that God has given us better than we deserve. I'm thinking, you know, the Bible reminds us what we do deserve. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And since all of us in this room at one point or another have sinned against God and sometimes even against ourselves, we're all worthy, we're all deserving of death. But instead of giving us death, we know that Jesus came, according to John chapter 10, that we could have something better than death. We could have life, life abundant now, and life abundant through eternity. And today, somewhere, I think we're all, let me just take a survey. How many are you glad to be a recipient of God's grace? Aren't you glad that God chose to love us? Amen? Aren't you glad that God chose to love us? You and I, who were far from Him, who in many ways and categories, we don't deserve to be included in God's grace. But I'm glad that Jesus chose to bust those barriers of human limitations and love us. I think that most of us have a pretty good grip and pretty good grasp on the idea that Jesus broke limitations to love us. But sometimes I believe we struggle in seeing those same limitations broken to love others. We're thankful that God chose us anyway, but are we faithful in loving others anyway? So why Jesus made the hero of this story not someone like them, but someone who was completely opposite of them in their own eyes. He chose a Samaritan. I like the fact that the Bible says he wasn't just a Samaritan. He was a despised Samaritan to be a channel of God's grace. And too many times, I'm afraid we like the teacher in this account, we spend too much of our lives asking this question, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Now, if you're in the room today and you're not a Christ follower, that's a great question to ask. What must I do to follow Jesus? That is the most important question of your life, but it shouldn't be the only question of your life. Because Jesus is going to teach us today that there's another question we should ask. And the question is not just what must I do to be saved, but how about this question? What must I do now that I am saved? Not just what must I do to receive God's grace, but now what should I do with God's grace? And that's the question I want to ask, or I want to try to answer today, is how can we be channels of God's grace? And there's a few ways this morning. Here's the first way, is I want to challenge you to change the questions that you ask. This was the question the expert of the law asked. He said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He was basically asking, Lord, what is the least I can do? I want to tell you that grace always changes the question from who is my neighbor to this question, who can I be a neighbor to? Now, I'm about to expose which generations I grew up in. But I grew up in a season where one of the most exciting times of my life was to wake up and turn on the television and see Mr. Rogers sing this song. Won't you be, some of you already know the song, Won't You Be My Neighbor? You know, I told Stella, that is now on Amazon Prime. And the other day, Stella and I were trying to watch some cartoon for her off Amazon. And I saw Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And I told Stella, this is the greatest show ever. Let me play it for you. And he was not even through the song. And Stella was like saying, turn the channel, Daddy. Get something off. She is not in love with Mr. Rogers. But he, you know, that's sort of the theme song of grace. It's not what must I do, but what can I do? Who can I show the love and the grace of Jesus to today? You know, Jesus said these words in Luke chapter 6. Give, and it'll be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. We read that scripture from Luke, and we often think of money. We think of giving money to someone else, to the cause of God, and knowing that when we give for the cause of Christ, it's impossible to lose. I absolutely believe that, but I don't believe that just counts for money. I also believe it's when you give your time for the cause of Christ, God, grace grows in you. Grace flows back into you like never before. When you give the love of Jesus to someone, you're never going to lose. You're never going to lose heart. You're never going to waste your time. As you give unto others, God always gives back to you. Sharing what God has put in you always allows God to put more into you. If you want to grow in the grace of God, I would challenge you in this way this morning. Allow more of God's grace to flow in you and allow more of God's grace to flow through you. I've been told, I've never taken this field trip before, but I've been told if you'll go to the Mississippi River and track it upwards, at the very beginning of the Mississippi River, you can find a place where you can actually step across it because it's so narrow and it's so small. But if you drive to Memphis this afternoon, how many of you know you're not going to step across it? Right? Why? Because the further it flows, the bigger it grows. Can I tell you, the river of God's grace in your life is the same way. If all you ever do is just try to keep the grace of God to yourself, the grace flow in your life may be like the beginning of the Mississippi. But if you will let it flow through your life like this Samaritan man did, I believe that you will discover the grace of God will become a great and bountiful river that you can draw from the rest of your life. So we got to change the questions we're asking, not just from who, Lord, what must I do? But God, what can I do for you and your kingdom? Let's change the questions you ask. Here's the second way to grow in grace is to look for opportunities around you to share God's grace. Verse number 33 of chapter 10 of Luke says this. Then a despised Samaritan came along. He just came along. In other words, the Samaritan was not out just, he wasn't on a missions trip. Now, thank God for mission trips. We're going to take some more as a church, and you should sign up and go on them. But that's not what the Samaritan was doing. He was not just out roaming the earth looking for someone to bless or someone to rescue. He was just going about his daily business and came across a need and thought, you know, if this need is in my path, then maybe God's put this need in my path for me to be a part of the solution to. We got to learn to look for opportunities to share God's grace around us. I've discovered that looking through this passage, there was four different people, or at least four people, that saw this same guy in the ditch. First person that saw him, he actually wasn't in the ditch yet. It was the band of robbers who saw him as someone to exploit. The next two people saw him was the religious leaders who thought, this is someone to avoid. What do you do when you see someone struggling in life? Do you see them as someone to reach out to or someone to avoid? These two religious people saw him as someone to avoid. And the Samaritan, he didn't see him as someone to exploit. He didn't see him as someone to avoid. He saw them as someone that I can be a neighbor to, someone that I can show the grace of Jesus to. They all saw the same man. They just saw him with different eyes. One of them saw him with eyes of compassion, while the other ones didn't. I want to ask you, how do you see, how do we see, how do I see the people around me today? I want to challenge us. Let's be people that see them through eyes of grace. And we look at this, and you could kind of give these this priest and this Levi, you could kind of give them an out if you wanted to. I mean, this road this guy was traveling was known as the way of blood. In other words, it was sort of expected that if you walk down this road by yourself, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be robbed, stolen from, beat up, or worse. It was just sort of a trek known for that. And yet, this man, though he is beat up, the priest and the Levite, they use that for justification. Well, you know, if we stop, that's kind of dangerous for us. It could be a trap. He could be someone who's trying to lure us for someone else's demise. See, there's plenty of excuses not to help. But the Samaritan just saw one need to help. He was in his path, and he was someone he could help. I have a friend of mine who's a missionary in a pretty dangerous spot. And I'll never forget when he went on the missions field several years ago, I asked him, I said, listen, you got to tell me, why on earth are you leaving a successful church, successful ministry to go put your family in harm's way to do this? And here was his answer. He said, Greg, I saw a need. And I realized I had the ability. And so I changed the question of this, why wouldn't I go? I wonder if we should change the questions when we see people in need to not why should I help? But if I see the need, and if I have the ability, why wouldn't I help? Show them the love of Jesus. Thirdly, this morning I would challenge you to be willing to do the unexpected. When Jesus was telling this story, a Jewish man went down the road. He fell into the hands of robbers. He was beat up and left for dead. And the priest and the Levite both passed him by. There was sort of an indictment upon the religious leaders of that day, which Jesus rarely did, by the way. But then he went on to tell the count, he said, but then a despised Samaritan. In other words, Jesus says the most unlikely person, the least likeliest person to help, shows up and helps. Someone that you would expect nothing out of does the unexpected and helps. You know, if we're going to share the grace of Jesus, and if the definition of grace is this, unmerited favor, couldn't you sort of rearrange those words to say the grace of Jesus is this, is unexpected favor? Isn't that fair? It's the unmerited favor, something I didn't work for. So there, not only is it just unmerited, it's unexpected. It's the unexpected favor of God. And that's what the Samaritan shows for us. He shows unexpected favor to this guy in the ditch. And some of you have said, well, Pastor, how can I share God's grace to someone else? Don't be afraid to do the unexpected. How many would admit, if you ever try to show God's grace to someone, that sometimes doing the unexpected is intimidating? It's intimidating. Pastor, they're going to wonder what on earth I'm doing or why am I doing this? Why would I go out of my way to meet this need in their life or take time to talk to them? They may question what I'm doing, my motivation for doing it. And I would say yes to all that. All that is very possible. People misunderstood Jesus. They questioned his motives. They questioned his authority. They questioned why on earth would he speak with them, spend time with them, serve them, do what he could for them. People ask those questions all the time, and yet he did the unexpected so that they could receive something completely unexpected, the grace of God. If we want people to experience the unmerited favor of God, then we may have to do some things that are unexpected. And there may be people who tell you, you know, that's not necessary. Why would you waste your time with it? Why would you invest in that person? Why would you go to this place? And I would just challenge you, be willing to do the unexpected. Don't stop doing what is expected, right? Don't go that way. But be willing to do more than expected. You know, Jesus said if someone, the Roman rule of government in that day, at any moment, if a Roman soldier came to you with all of his garb, his sword and his shield and all the stuff they carried, if a Roman soldier came to you as a Jew and said, hey, I want you to carry my stuff, by law, you had to stop what you were doing and carry their stuff a mile for them. But Jesus said, hey, if someone asks you to go 1 mile, go 2. For that Roman soldier who gave you his garb to carry, he expects you to walk a mile with him because he knows it's the law and you have to obey. But that second mile that you walk with him, I would call that this, the mile of grace. It's the mile of you doing more than is expected. It's a mile of you doing more than required, but it's a mile that shows to that person, I'm not doing this because I have to. I'm doing this because I want to show you something that you may never in other ways see, and it's the grace of Jesus. Don't be afraid to go the second mile to reach someone, which often causes us, here's point number 4, Megan, if you want to come, is to care for others beyond the point of comfort. This Samaritan person that stopped, one of the first things we see is when he helped the guy up, not only did he pay his way, but he put the guy on his own donkey. Which means for the rest of this track, the man who was riding is now walking. It cost him his comfort. Showing the grace of God will often come to us in opportunities that are inconvenient and cost us our comfort. But I want to challenge you. I want to challenge us as a church today. Let's show God's grace anyway. Let's allow the grace of God to grow in us, because the grace of God is flowing through us. Amen. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. I'm so thankful for the grace of God that flows to our lives from Christ. So thankful we've been given the grace of Jesus. We didn't earn it. He gave it to us. When the expert of the law asked the question, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus turned around and told the story, because it's really not about what we do to inherit eternal life. It's what he did so that we can inherit eternal life. And today, if you're not following Jesus, you're not part of God's family because you never committed your life to him. Listen, there's nothing else you have to do to inherit eternal life except for to make God your Father, to have right relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't committed your life to following Christ today, I would challenge you to do that this morning, which is as easy as simply doing this. And Lord, I believe you are who you say you are. You are the Son of God, Jesus. And I confess my need of you. And from this day forward, I'm going to abandon all to follow you. Meaning abandoning your past, abandoning your present, and abandoning your future to follow whatever he would say. That's making him your leader and your Lord and your Savior. If you've never done that today, but you sense today I need to start following Jesus, perhaps for the first time, or maybe your life of following Jesus has been dormant for however long, but today you say, Pastor, I need to get back to following Jesus. I need his grace to flow in me, fresh and new. I do want to pray for you today. Would you just lift a hand real quick? Let me, Pastor, pray for me. Amen. Here's the second question. Is now that you've allowed God's grace to flow to you, are you allowing God's grace to flow through you? Ephesians talks about us growing in the grace of God. And one of the best ways to grow in the grace of God is to let the grace of God not just flow to you, but to flow through you. So the question we're going to change this morning is, we're going to not just ask the question, Lord, what must I do to be saved? But Lord, now what can I do for you now that I am saved? Who can I be a neighbor to today? Because God's grace in you grows as it flows through you. And I know I'm talking to a church full of people this morning that you want the grace of God to flow and to grow in you. And the best way for God's grace to grow in you is by you being intentional about allowing God's grace to flow through you. So I want us to, before we change the order of the service, I want us to pray this prayer. Father, let your grace grow in me, and let your grace flow through me, and open my eyes to help me see who you want your grace to flow through me to reach, to minister. Just share with them the love you've shared with me. I want to ask you to take that prayer that I just sort of talked you through and make it your own as I pray over you today. Father, I thank you for the grace of Jesus that we've received as sons and daughters of God. But I pray that today we would not just make it our mission to treasure and to keep the grace of God, but we would make it our priority to let the grace of God grow because it's flowing in us and through us today. So open our eyes to see those around us as you see them. Open our eyes to see the opportunities you've given us every single day. And we commit ourselves to being faithful, to sharing the grace with others that you have freely shared with us.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.